Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, April the 30th. We have reached the end of the month. Now, coming up, why we could see the price of some goods in shops in Kent go up as new import checks come into force. The Jills are looking for a new manager. Plus, find out who's going to be at Pride in Canterbury this summer. But first, this is our most read story on the site today. A Sheppey woman who scammed her bosses out of nearly £80,000 has been sent to prison. Lucy joins me now with more on this one. Firstly, Lucy, what's the background to the case?
Well, Carly Miller siphoned off company money that was meant to be used to pay suppliers. She was working as an accounts manager at a company called Creative Resins Limited in Sittingbourne at the time and took the cash over a four-month period. A court was told the 39-year-old from Main Road in Queenborough used most of the money to pay off debts following online spending sprees during lockdown, but she also used it to pay for a £2,000 holiday.
And police searched her home after she left the company, is that right?
Yes, she'd decided to resign, and it was shortly after that that her fraud came to light. When officers searched her home, they found 20 handbags, shoes and accessories from what appeared to be designer brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel and Gucci. During sentencing, it was claimed they were actually fakes she'd bought to cheer herself up during the pandemic.
What else was said in court?
Well, Miller's own barrister described her as a compulsive spender and compulsive debtor. She admitted fraud relating to 19 payments between January and May 2022, and the offending started just 6 months after she started her job. In a victim impact statement, the MD of the company described how Miller's crime had affected their ability to increase wages, pay bonuses, and invest in new tech.
Finally, what was the sentence?
Well, she's been jailed for 2.5 years, with the judge saying there was substantial trust invested in you and that was betrayed. She was also given a 10-year restraining order, banning her from going to the company or contacting any of the directors. Finally, the court was told she's already repaid £15,000.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A Sittingbourne teenager has been locked up for stabbing his mum's boyfriend to death. Rohan Daniels claimed he acted in self-defence when he attacked David Perry in December 2022. He was cleared of murder after a trial in February but found guilty of manslaughter. The 19-year-old who lives in Medway Close has been sentenced to 10 years. A surgeon who carried out substandard operations on breast cancer patients at a Kent hospital has been banned from practising medicine. A tribunal heard how Dr. Thattipalli Gopal Krishna Mahadev lied on his job application before being hired at the William Harvey in Ashford. The 56-year-old, who no longer lives in the UK, was found to have put patients at a potential risk of harm. He claimed he'd been targeted by an NHS conspiracy. A woman's been arrested after police seized a weapon during a disturbance at Sittingbourne Memorial Medical Centre. Police were called to Bell Road yesterday lunchtime. Witnesses say the hospital was put into lockdown. The NHS has been approached for a comment. A Margate man has been arrested following an operation to tackle unroadworthy delivery drivers. The 50-year-old was charged with drink driving and driving while disqualified. Meantime, a woman's been arrested on suspicion of drink driving after a car overturned in Tunbridge Wells. Police were called to Blue Boys Roundabout on Hastings Road yesterday. And a suspected drink driver is due in court after an historic horse trough in Gravesend was destroyed in a crash. The structure on a roundabout in Echo Square dates back to 1903 and was damaged in the collision in the early hours of Sunday. Now, staying with roads and traffic news, because there are calls to ban lorries from a stretch of road in Kent following a number of serious crashes. Campaigners also want the speed limit on the A251 between Faversham and Chollock cut from 50 to 40 miles per hour. Suzanne Burton lives on the road and has described being first on the scene of a collision.
It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I heard and felt the impact of what I later discovered was a lorry and a car involved in an accident on the road right outside my house. In fact, the car had actually upended onto the verge, which is part of my property. And I just reacted by going straight out to the scene of the accident, where it was very difficult. What I saw actually that night, and is something that I probably will never never forget completely. Luckily, the two passengers that were seriously injured, I have heard, are now starting to recover from their injuries, but they have got injuries that are potentially life-changing, so that's something that you don't want to hear. But they are both, they did both survive, which is something I didn't expect on the evening that I ran out to see the scene that I was presented with.
So how much good can this campaign do if the changes are implemented? How much of a benefit will it be for the people of the area and the drivers?
Well, it can only do good because it's been an increase over the last, certainly the last decade that I've been living in the same house. I've noticed we've had a couple of near misses on a regular basis. You can't get out of your own driveway. The lorries cause delay and mayhem on the road because they can't pass one another. They constantly come over the white line because they're too wide. The speed limit's another issue. So I think it's a combined thing that needs to happen to produce a safer road for all of us to be living on and for everyone that's using it.
Really powerful recollection there from Suzanne. Now, Crush Map data shows that more than 40 incidents have happened in the 5 years to 2022. Campaigner Hazel Bellord also wants something done.
The road changes from 30 to 40 to 50 between Faversham and Chollock. And it's very narrow in places and very bendy. So yes, causes a lot of problems especially for HGVs trying to get past each other at certain points.
So the safety group has two aims. The first is a blanket 40 mile per hour, except I'd imagine for where it is 30. So just basically bring the 50s down to 40.
Bring the 50s down to 40, definitely, yes. Because sometimes the traffic will be going along at 50 and it can't get round the bends without crossing the central line on the road. So yes, very, very dangerous.
And the second one is to ban HGVs, which is obviously a bit more of an awkward one.
Yes, not all HGVs. It's really, we're just aiming at HGVs that use the A251 as a through route. So yes, obviously we can't ban all HGVs. It wouldn't be impossible. I mean, it would be great if we could, but it's not really feasible. But yes, definitely the ones that are using it as a through route.
The council say they'll continue to monitor the situation on the road.
Kent Online reports.
A 15-year-old boy has been arrested following reports a pet peacock was killed with catapults near Maidstone. The bird was allegedly shot in Old Tree Lane in Boughton-on-Chelsea on April the 21st. CCTV footage captured a group of five boys and one girl with slingshots. Follow Kent Online on socials to see a picture of a man police are hunting after an attempted robbery in Maidstone. The victim was approached by four men outside Romney Place and demanded she hand over her watch. When she refused, they chased and assaulted her. A Kent farming firm has been fined after pleading guilty to putting staff at risk of harm to save money. Inspectors at Seymour Stevens, based in Faversham, found outbuildings were at risk of collapse, electrical faults and broken bullpens. Now, bosses have been told to pay £12,000 and more than £4,000 in costs. A man who stored dozens of mobile homes and a boat on land in Lydd has been fined. Ronald Carpenter from Whitehall Farm used the site to run a business keeping large items but didn't have a licence. He's been ordered to pay £5,000 and costs after being prosecuted by the council. Now, new import checks at the Kent border that have been delayed five times already finally come into force today. Businesses bringing in food and flowers have had to fill in extra paperwork and some lorries could be sent to Sevington near Ashford for closer inspection. It's being phased in gradually, but there are some concerns about how this is going to work. Well, I've been chatting to Tudor Price, who's from the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce.
So this has actually been a long time coming. So this is called the Border Target Operating Model, BOTOM for short, lovely acronym. It's been around it's been in the offing for about 4 years. So really, this is all part of Brexit. So for a long time, UK exporters have had all of their products checked as they move across into Europe, so checking for biosecurity, disease, and all that sort of thing. This has been delayed and delayed and delayed. It's finally coming into effect now on the UK side. So those that are importing product, their products now are subject to paperwork and potential checks. Now, there's two problems here. One is that there is a cost has been attached to this. Depending on the consignment and the nature of the consignment, it can be up to £145 per consignment, which if you're a large multinational, like supermarkets and stuff, that's absolutely fine. You can sort of carry that cost. But if you're a small micro business, independent, of which we have plenty here in Kent and Medway, it's going to hurt. It's going to cut into your profit margins. And so, either you absorb that profit or you're going to have to pass it on. The other risk, which is probably being overplayed slightly at the moment, is around the actual inspection. So I literally came off the phone from the border point, border control point at Sevington down here in Ashford. I was talking to the head guy down there. They've been targeted to check 10% of the vehicle movements coming through Kent. So it's not every single truck that's going to get pulled over, of which there's some 10,000 movements a day. We're only looking at 10%. And of that 10%, it's going to be a cursory check, making sure the paperwork's correct, the seals are still intact. There will be some occasions where they're going to want to take the goods off and get them sent away to a lab. And of course, there's a real threat of delay and problems that will have the supply chain. But we don't think the delay is going to be as big an issue under the border target operating model implementation. It's more the cost.
So extra costs has been mentioned, and any holdups could impact the shelf life of fresh produce, pushing up costs in the shops as well. Lucy has spoken to Nicola Mallon, who's head of trade and devolved policy at Logistics UK, to get more of an insight on that.
Many of our members are carrying fresh produce on their back of their lorries. Every single second is valuable. The longer that that produce sits in the back of a lorry, the shorter its shelf life, the shorter its value, and the increased risk of wastage. We are concerned that these checks are taking place at Sevington, which is 22 miles from Dover. And we are concerned that all of the facilities will not be ready in terms of being able to efficiently process any of the vehicles that need to be checked. And any delay on those lorries will impact the produce, will impact those businesses, and ultimately the consumer. One of the characteristics of this whole process, regrettably, has been that the government produces too little information too late. And there is a lack of public awareness about all of these new changes and what they could mean. What we want to reassure the public is that our members in Logistics UK are doing everything that they can to make sure that you have all of the produce that you need on your shelf at the lowest possible price. Our members will do what they can to absorb these additional costs, but they are already operating under tight profit margins. And so there is an inevitability that some of the higher prices will be passed on to consumers. And that is a result of these new checks and controls that the government is introducing.
And who is enforcing these checks? I mean, if a lorry driver is told to pull in at Sevington, I mean, who's to stop them just carrying on, or sort of, something happening in the meantime?
Well, all of our members comply with all of the rules, but there may be situations where a driver doesn't receive the message in time, alerting him or her to the fact that they need to go to a border control post for checks. And so that's another area that we need to get greater detail from government on.
Well, it's interesting because we asked DEFRA for clarification on who's actually enforcing this. They pointed us in the direction of Border Force, who then told us to go to DEFRA. So it seems like there's a bit of confusion over how this is actually being policed.
Well, if you're having to go around the houses to try to find out who is responsible for what, you can imagine the frustration of our members. Industry has been flagging for quite some time now our concerns to government about the costs of these new processes, the added bureaucracy. We've been flagging key business critical pieces of information that businesses really need that government hasn't provided.
Meantime, bosses in Dover say they've seized more than 3 tonnes of illegal meat at the border in the days before these new checks come in. It included 54 unmarked sheep carcasses from 2 vehicles from Romania, which had travelled for several days in unhygienic conditions. It all comes amid concerns that African swine fever could spread to the UK after being found in Sweden, Italy and Germany.
Kent Online reports.
There's anger over signs that have appeared on a Grade 2 listed building near Canterbury. The former Plough and Harrow pub in Bridge is being turned into a Turkish restaurant. Some people living nearby say the large sign looks cheap and out of keeping with the area. The building's owner says he's spending a lot of money improving it after it closed in 2022. Around 160 fish have been put in a village pond that had to be drained to get rid of an illegal species. Prussian carp, which are considered a risk to native fish, were found in the water in Matfield last year. £20,000 has been spent on bringing the pond back to its former glory. Work has resumed on a half-built housing estate in Romney Marsh that's been plagued by vandals overrun with rabbits and pigeons. The Sands is a £20 million development that was meant to open in St Mary's Bay in 2019, but it's been held up by supply issues. Scaffolding has now been seen around the site and some of the damage repaired. And the organisers of this year's Pride in Canterbury have told Kent Online their socials blew up when they revealed that the sad Oompa Loompa will be there this year. You'll probably remember she went viral after pictures were posted of the disappointing Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow. Well, I've been chatting to John Fitter-Harding, who is Pride's marketing director.
It's proved to be a very keen choice for a lot of our attendees. So even though I'm excited, because that blew up. That was insane.
It was mad. I mean, you must start planning for Pride as soon as the previous year has finished. You've just started to make the announcements. How excited are you for this year's event?
I'm really excited. One of the things I'm most excited for is obviously yourselves closing us off on the Saturday. So we're going to have floor filler anthems with Rob Wills, which will be amazing. Last year, that topped off the end of our show. But obviously, we've got Michelle McManus, who is a little bit of a blast from the past, but even I remember all the way back then, and she was amazing. Another one I'm really looking forward to, Charity Shop Sue. She's going to be doing a DJ set for us. You've got Urban Cookie Collective, really popular. And then we've got some of our classics, you know, we've got Bag of Chips, who was our staple and always really popular. And a lot of people are very keen to see her. And Booty Lover returning. That's a favourite of mine as well.
So come on then, tell us about the Oompa Loompa. How did that all come about? Whose idea was it?
No, it's not myself that comes up with these crazy ideas. It's Stephen, who's our entertainment director. And he knew how popular she was. And I think she's a trained actress as well. So amazing. So I'm looking forward to what she's going to do. And we have actually, and so this is hot off the press for you guys. It's only been confirmed today. We've also got Katie Price coming to us, who I'm really looking forward to seeing her performance.
Very exciting news. Is she going to be singing then? Because that was the one thing that everyone was asking.
Exactly. And that's the thing. We asked who people wanted to see. Katie was up there with a lot of others. And we haven't quite got the budget for Lady Gaga, who was also second favourite, but Katie's coming. I'm hoping she's singing. I'm not sure, because like I say, it has just been confirmed on our WhatsApp group. So I will find out and I'm sure we'll announce.
Give us a bit of a sense for anyone who hasn't been before of what else you've got going on aside from those main acts on the stage.
So for us, one of the really important things for Pride is we've got really, really good community feel. We also want to be appropriate for families to come. I've got two children myself who are 5 and 7, and they love Pride. They come along, they enjoy some of the fairground rides that we have. They really enjoy seeing kind of Kent Fire and Rescue, the police. They also just really enjoy the colour and the atmosphere. So we've got a lot of community groups who are coming down. We have an even better selection of food vendors this year, catering for every food type that you can imagine. And I'm hoping that we get the weather again as well.
Are we meant to be keeping a very close eye on your socials for more announcements, Jonathan? What can we see coming up?
That's still coming out. I've given you Katie Price, but that's all I'm going to give you today. Otherwise, my social media team will shoot me, I think.
They won't be happy with you. And quite a few people have said to me, what will the Oompa Loompa be doing? Can you let us into any little secrets?
No, I really wish I could, because it's the same question that I've asked Stephen. What exactly is she gonna, I think there's definitely going to be a meet and greet option. I mean, I know that I'm going to be having a photo with her, and I know the people that I've spoken to want a photo with her. I mean, she's just iconic now. And can you imagine, I bet she didn't think when she turned up to that job that day that she was going to be across international news? Because I'm pretty sure she's travelled to America as well. She's gone that far. It's far and wide.
Pride takes place in Dane John Gardens on the 8th and 9th of June.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it's set to be a busy summer for Gillingham after they sacked head coach Stephen Clements. He left Priestfield yesterday after just 5 months in the role. It's after they failed to reach the playoffs, finishing the season 12th in League Two. First today, we can hear from our Jules reporter, Luke Cordell.
Stephen Clements came in tasked with getting the team promoted, and at the end of the day, 12th position's not good enough. I mean, it's surprising the timing, but then it's not surprising in some ways because the chairman was pretty adamant that when Stephen Clements took over, he wanted this team to make the top seven at least. He wanted promotion. And in the end, they've got nowhere near it. They finished 12th place. Stephen Clements was tasked with trying to bring a better brand of football, which the chairman wanted. He wanted them to be attacking more, a bit more front-footed, scoring more goals. There's been marginal improvements. Clements wanted the summer transfer window so he could go out there and get some of the players more to his liking. He wanted more attacking players in the squad, more sort of competition, but he won't get that chance now. I mean, he even said on Saturday, I'm looking forward to coming in on Monday morning and continuing the plans that we've already started to bring new players into the club, but he's not going to get the chance. Instead of on Monday morning, he was told to pack his bag. So it's a harsh world, football, and Stephen Clements has been involved in it long enough to know that when the chairman and the board want to make a decision, then they will do. And Brad Gallinson, the Gillingham chairman, is clearly not afraid to make the big decisions. He surprised quite a few people by sacking Neil Harris when the club were well placed in this division earlier in the season. So now the American owner is looking for a third new manager to come in. And I mean, the pressure is going to be massive next season. It's promotion or bust. That they've got to do it next season. Whoever comes in, we'll have to get them promoted. Top seven's a very minimum. They'll probably be looking for a top three. So let's go and see who's going to come in next.
Well, the club say they're looking to make a new appointment as soon as possible. Bartholomew from our colleagues at KMTV has been chatting to David Garth, who's from the Gillingham FC Supporters Club.
I think it was a gamble. I think they were hoping that maybe it would come off a bit like the guy at Ipswich has done as well. Mm. There's no doubt that Brad and Shannon are impatient, as we all are, as Gillingham fans are impatient to get the good times going again. Mm-hmm. So you could maybe say, well, that's a good thing that they are impatient and they want to do it now mm-hmm. rather than wait. But even so, it's still a surprise.
Talking to the future then, obviously it's very early doors about throwing names about. Do you have someone in mind any at this stage who you might want to see in that?
There are so many names that are being mentioned at the moment. I think the early leader on the bookies side is Gareth Ainsworth, who did reasonably well at Wickham. But I think it's far too early to say. What you do need is someone that's going to be strong. And maybe, with the greatest respect in the world to Steve Clements, I don't think he was always comfortable in front of a camera. I don't think he had that sort of extra drive that came out. And that's his way, and I respect that. And maybe what we need is somebody a little bit more outgoing, with a little bit more charisma that will sort of raise our profile even more. Maybe that's what they're looking for.
Plenty of speculation already as to who could take over at Priestfield. You can let us know who you'd like to see leading the team next season by commenting on any of the stories online. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.